Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today, let's conclude our time hearing from a friend who was a sound theologian, Dr. John Frame, and his seven-point argument for the aseity of God. Another way to say that, God is self-sufficient. Frame's helped us understand what this means, and he's wisely pointed us to the scripture in which the one true God, who has life in himself, is contrasted with false gods, idols, who, of course, do not have life in themselves. If you have been with us, then you remember we have done some reading in Isaiah where the prophet shows us how ridiculous it is for us to make idols and then to expect the idol to help us. The idol is just a dead piece of wood. It has no life in itself. And last time we read the Apostle Paul in Acts and chapter 17 and verse 29, Paul says, "Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man." His point is, if God created us, which he did, then God must be more than an idol made by man. Notice the divine nature, capital D, capital N. There is none of the divine nature in idols. Because God has life in himself, his divine nature is completely unlike that of the false gods. So Isaiah and Paul agree, and I hope we are all in agreement with them. Paul the Apostle also said, "God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." Acts 17:25. And in God we live and move and exist. Acts 17:28. I encourage you to highlight those verses in your Bible as a way to remember God's aseity. Acts chapter 17, verses 25 and 28. God has no needs. There is nothing in us or nothing we can give God that fills some sort of need in him. Let's move on to Frame's seventh and final point, the logical conclusion of all that came before. Point number seven, God is ase. Listen as I read Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again?" That was Galatians 4, verses 8 and 9. Regarding these verses, Frame says, note the phrase, "which by nature are no gods." Paul says that a being worthy of worship must have a nature worthy of worship. But the false gods are weak and worthless, poor and begging. A God who depends on his worshipers to remedy his weaknesses and poverty does not deserve worship. So the true God is not one who is weak in any respect, nor is he poor. He is God by nature, self-existent and self-sufficient, ase. More from him in a moment, but I hope you caught what he said there. The apostle emphasizes that the Galatian Christians were once slaves to false gods, who are by nature not gods. And he is encouraging the Galatians, now that they know and are known by the true God, do not return to idol worship. Those idols are weak and worthless. They do not deserve worship. They are not worthy of worship. But the self-sufficient and self-existent God is worthy of worship. A being worthy of worship must have a nature worthy of worship, and God does. I'll continue to quote Dr. Frame now. So although aseity is a metaphysical idea, our knowledge of it, as for all other divine attributes, is grounded in the practical reality of God as covenant Lord. We confess his aseity because such a confession is implicit in the very act of worship, the reverence that the worshiper has for his Lord. So aseity is essential to a credible doctrine of God, not a mere bit of abstract theorizing. It is also important to note that aseity does not isolate God's being from the world, but rather enables God to enter our history without confusing his being with the being of this world. If God entered the world out of need, then he would be dependent on the world. Then there would be no clear distinction between creator and creature. Yet he enters our world not out of need, but as the Ase Lord of all. End quote. Well, that's also very well said and simply stated. We can understand that and apply it to our worship of the living God. Ultimately, God being self-sufficient and self-existent, his aseity leads us to worship him. Remember when we talked about Paul's benediction when he comes to the end of Romans chapter 11? Romans 11 verse 36 reads, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." For from him, meaning God has provided everything we have. And through him, meaning nothing comes to us without his power. And to him are all things, meaning God receives everything back to himself. This means God is self-sufficient. And as the apostle at this point in his letter worshipped, so too shall we. In a sadly ironic way, the world is constantly searching for a deity that is life in itself, but they can never find one. Whereas we who are Bible-believing Christians, saved by the grace of Christ, every day we worship the God who, as Jesus said, has life in himself. I hope you marvel at this. I hope that you will think about this. And I invite you to join me in worship of our God in these very moments. In the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11, we read this. "And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created.'" Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. In this awesome worship scene, notice what is said of God. First, twice it is said he lives forever and ever. God lives because he has life in himself. Second, he created all things, and because of his will, they existed and were created. Here again is aseity. We exist because God has life in himself and he gives his life to us. He animates us. He sustains us. And one day, having been given eternal life, we will join with the living creatures and the 24 elders, and we will honor and glorify him in the new heavens and the new earth. Until that moment, let us praise him each and every day and each and every night. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our self-sufficient, self-existing, self-sustaining, all-powerful God, thank you for teaching us these doctrines, deep and eternal truths about who you are. Son of God, Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us that our Father has life in himself. And Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding us in these days together, learning who you are. Father, Son, and Spirit, we are grateful. We acknowledge that we are dependent on you, not the other way around. Lord, I pray you will forgive us when we dare to treat you as an idol that we have made in our image and likeness. We repent. Turn us back to see you for who you are, for who you reveal yourself to be in the Bible. Help us to truly worship the true God. Keep us from idolatry. You are perfect. You are so mighty and so awesome that we just do not have the words to say how great you are. So pick up from our hearts the reverence and respect we have for your being. I pray you will receive our worship because it comes from pure hearts that have confessed our sins to Christ and have been forgiven. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Amen. Well, of course, more can be said about God's aseity, but this is what we have time and the attention for right now. And I remind you that we have taken these doctrines together, simplicity and aseity. God is simple. God is self-sufficient. These are two of God's what we call incommunicable attributes, or as I prefer, his perfections and his excellencies. We will cover more of these incommunicable perfections and excellencies later. But for now, a good beginning. I hope this helps you more rightly worship the God who is, and that you will be sure and return next time as we continue to discover God. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.